The following is a duplicate of tape 2, side 1, of an interview with Margaret Lee, conducted for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. April 29, 1980, interview with Margaret Quan Lee at her residence in Lincoln Heights, conducted by Beverly Chen. Margaret, in recreation, did your family prefer Chinese-style recreation or American-style?
Well, the old folks, naturally, they would like the Chinese music, and my mother do like mahjong, and then, of course, the younger group would prefer, you know, ball games and movies.
That's yourself, right? Okay. Did your mom play often mahjong? And
well, she has her group of friends, and they usually play mahjong.
Once a month, say, or?
Oh, about once a week.
Once a week. Uh-huh. Your father did the same?
No, my dad doesn't play.
And you don't play?
Oh, once in a while.
Okay, I see. How about, say, your brothers and sisters? Did they also prefer the more Western style of recreation?
Yes, they prefer that. Mm-hmm.
Besides mahjong, did your mom or dad have any other form of recreation, say, going to Chinese operas?
Oh, well, they enjoy the movies. And
the American movies?
No. Well, mostly they prefer the Chinese movies. And of
were there Chinese movies at that time?
No, I guess not. I've forgotten the span.
Yeah. Do you remember any Chinese operas being around?
Oh, I believe there were, yeah. Occasionally there used to be some troupe that goes
mm-hmm.
through the USA.
Yeah. Did your parents go to see that?
Oh, yes, definitely.
They enjoyed that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
I was told that I did go. When I think the famous opera star, was it Mulan?
Mulan Fong?
Uh-huh.
Ah.
Yes, he did perform in the USA. I think my parents did see him. And in fact, my mother told me that I was imitating him. Using the scarf and all that, but I don't remember any part of it.
Oh, he came in the late 40s or?
Gee, I really, no, I think it must have been earlier than that, way earlier than that, because if I was a child.
Oh, I see. Okay. Did you ever write to your relatives and family friends back in China?
No, because I couldn't write Chinese.
Mm-hmm. I see. Did you have any other contacts with relatives over there back home?
Well, the only contact is that I am aware that we have relatives over there, or it's just when I address envelopes for my dad or for my mother.
I thought you said you don't write Chinese.
No, well, I write the English part. and they fill out the right, the Chinese
the
part.
Return address, you mean?
No, when you... usually when you address an envelope
to
China, you use the English portion and then they are, you know.
Did you or others that you know of join any associations in Chinatown?
Well, my dad was in an association, like the Chinese American Alliance,
mm-hmm.
Citizens Alliance at that time.
Yeah.
And then they also had some Merchants Association.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the La Guanjiangju, the,
mm-hmm. the Family Association.
The Family Association.
Ah,
mm-hmm.
I see. Did you remember him participating in any of the activities of those organizations?
Well, like for instance the association, well they usually have you know, New Year's and Chinese New Year Huainian party and things like that, and sometimes they have some for things like get together for donations and so on, you know.
You said that your father belonged to the Laoguanzhang to whatever, a family
association, right.
And that this particular association, along with other groups that your father belonged to, were sponsors of mainly charitable and social functions like Chinese New Year's?
Well, yes, and then...
in China.
In other words, whatever your surname is, one is more or less associated with the different associations, say, family associations, I should say. Yeah. Mm.
Did he, his, any of his associations participate in the anti-Japanese effort?
Oh yes, definitely.
In the, for instance, that the Moon Festival, was it partly sponsored by them?
It wasn't sponsored by one particular organization.
I mean, it was sponsored
by
many groups, but was your father's, say, family association one of them?
Yes, I'm sure at that time most of the association has donated some funds to the cause.
Mm-hmm. Besides the that particular relief effort plus the Chinese New Year's, were there any other activities that they sponsored?
Primarily the association, once in a while, supposing within those four names, supposing somebody have a scribble or misunderstanding between the two different ones.
It's a mediator.
That's right.
In disputes.
And you have family problems, which that's what they call it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's how most family associations handle their own affair within the association.
Did your father ever become elected to an office within those associations?
Yes, he was in some offices. He's some participant, you know.
Like secretary or treasurer or vice president, that sort of thing.
I think he might have been treasury and different offices at one time, but I can't quite remember what capacity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which were the most prominent families in Los Angeles back in the 30s and 40s?
Back in the 30s, I'm not quite sure, but I think at one time, those days they considered Y.C. Hong very prominent because he was a lawyer.
Was he simply prominent because he was a lawyer? Or was it because he did something extraordinary?
Well, he was very helpful to the Chinese, and the Chinese were needed his guidance and help in legal matter.
What kind of cases? Immigration cases?
No, he also specialized in that, and all just various things that pertaining to the American law.
Mm-hmm. Were there any case that stuck in your mind? Any case that he participated in or defended someone, perhaps?
Well, that I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Did he have his own office, or did he practice in joint partnership with other?
No, he was. He had his own office, and in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. I see. What kinds of jobs were most Chinese engaged in before the war?
Well, that would be Chinese restaurants, grocery business.
Are you talking about ownership or being a laborer in those fields, or both?
You mean labor?
Yeah, when you say restaurants and grocery stores, do you mean the Chinese owned those businesses, or they...
Well,
got paid working in those fields?
Well, your Chinese be owns a restaurant, they'd be hiring waiters and cooks and so on.
Who are all Chinese?
That's definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Besides grocery stores and restaurants, anything else?
Well, then they have laundry, and then they have curio stores,
mm-hmm.
which we call gift shops,
mm-hmm.
present days.
Those curio stores were geared toward the Americans, I guess, the tourists, right?
Well,
rather
for tourists, and then also the Chinese, if they feel they wish to purchase gift for someone, or else, you know, the antiques for themselves, or that's where.
Oh, and you include the antique stores as part of the.
Oh yeah, the antique and curio stores.
I see. Were there any jobs that were not open to the Chinese?
Gee, I'm not sure.
Did you ever hear about anyone not being able to obtain employment in a certain field?
Well,
because
there are a few, but then I'm not quite sure how to localize which particular job, you know.
For instance, civil service.
Civil service, well, there are, they did hire, but very few.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that there were very few being hired, was it because there weren't enough qualified Chinese to apply, or because they didn't really want to hire Chinese?
Well, I would say where they can use the service of Chinese to their advantage, for instance, maybe immigration department,
mm-hmm.
they will use you because for the language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas they need Americans, and then the Chinese will not have a chance.
I see. Americans. Like a normal job, say clerical or say personnel, where anyone who spoke English fluently could have.
Well, if you're very outstanding, if they happen to like your looks, or if they, your interviewer, or that particular department, I would say that maybe that particular person who interviewed is not too prejudiced, well then you would have a chance
mm-hmm.
to get the job. Otherwise, sometimes in those departments, maybe after you have been interviewed, they would say they would let you know. Then they would go to their colleagues and ask that whether or not anyone would object to hiring a Chinese or something.
Is that a common question among the whites when they are about to hire someone new, whether they will object to a certain ethnic group?
Well, I think it may have happened quite often because they have never had a chance to work with a Chinese or a minority group, so consequently they will have to consider all angles before hiring.
Mm-hmm. And if the rest of the workers said they didn't mind, then it would have been okay.
Yes, they would give you a chance, but that chance is very slim.
What do you mean, they, the other workers, or your
supervisor? Well, there might be some of the workers who object to it, and then so consequently, you kind of still close
mm-hmm.
the gaps. And
you personally never experienced any discrimination in terms of
no.
hiring? Mm-hmm. Were there any jobs that were exclusively Chinese that very few other ethnic groups participated?
Oh, that would be in Chinatown if there are any.
Besides
I
the restaurant and the grocery
mm-hmm.
stores. Anything else?
No, just the Chinese will hire Chinese
mm-hmm.
exclusively.
Why do you
but in American places, definitely nothing's open. Just
mm.
to use Chinese, no.
Why do you suppose that is so, that the Chinese hired only Chinese? Because of the language or cultural affinity?
How did you pose your question again?
Do you think that the Chinese hired other Chinese to work for them because of language handicaps, because they can only communicate with another Chinese, in their own language?
Take for instance Chinese restaurant, where naturally you would use your own Chinese people because your kitchen would require, or when you go to a Japanese restaurant, for instance, you would expect to have Japanese help, all right? Western people that goes to a Chinese restaurant, they expect all Chinese help. And because it's easier for the Chinese people who lives in the Chinese community to go to a Chinese restaurant to work too.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be open to you at any time, any.
Were there any jobs that you considered to be a white person or an American could have done that but wasn't open to an American because it was the business was owned by a Chinese?
Well, I don't think if you were to hire a carpenter or something,
mm-hmm.
in those days you would naturally, being in this country, you would have to utilize the people who are in that business, a carpenter or a painter or something. You won't find too many Chinese being able to do those. So consequently, you do have to rely on those kind of help, and they would be Americans.
But I'm talking about, say, for instance, a laundromat,
In those days, they don't have laundromats.
The places where they wash your shirts for you, aren't they called laundromats?
You mean those hand laundry?
Yeah, the hand laundry.
Yeah, that's hand laundry of the Chinese.
They wouldn't hire any, say, Mexicans or?
Maybe they may, but most of it, it's family owned. So then you have the mother and all the other relatives working, and then the children, they train them into that. That's how most Chinese start their business, with the family.
Mm-hmm.
A restaurant, then you'll have maybe the mother cooking in a restaurant, a brother cooking, or an uncle or cousin or something. And so that's how you have enough people to run a business.
Mm-hmm. What would have been considered an average income?
Yeah, I really don't know about those days.
Mm-hmm. Did you work in the 40s, early 40s?
Did I what?
Did you work?
Well, I work, I did still going to school then.
Mm-hmm. Did your older brothers work?
Well, no, there's, one of them was still in Tinsin, China, going to school, and the other was working for Douglas Aircraft.
Mm-hmm. How much was he making at that time, do you remember?
Yeah, I really don't know.
Was he an engineer?
No. He wasn't an engineer, no.
He worked on the airplanes?
Yes, I guess in some parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Was he hired on the special help basis where they didn't have enough help and they hired a lot of people? Because you said at that time it was unusual for Chinese to be hired for anything other than...
He went to a special school and then they hired him on his skill and...
Mm-hmm.
And
was he an airplane mechanic? Is that what you call it? A mechanic that fixes airplanes?
Yes, I think so.
Your brother went back to China to go to school? Your other brother?
Yeah, two of my brothers went back too.
Oh, for college?
They attended Namhoi.
Oh, Namhoi, that's a high school.
Mm-hmm.
How many years were they over there?
Well, one brother was there about 3 years, the other brother was there about 5 years.
Yeah, that's a very prominent school. And was it your father's idea to send them over there?
Mm-hmm.
How old were they when they left here? Do you remember?
Oh, I guess they were in their teens. One might have been 14, the other one probably 16.
Mm-hmm. Did they go to university there?
No, I think they came back before they may have some, you know, early part of it.
Mm-hmm. Was it very common to send children back to China to get an education in those days?
Well, I think most of the families do like to send their children back to school back then.
They would like to?
Most of them tried to send.
Did they succeed in doing so, or?
Oh, I'm sure they, I would say, three-quarter of the people do send their kids to school, and then some will stay there to complete the full education, and some will just stay there for a few years. The reason is that they want them to get a bit of the Chinese culture and to know the Chinese language.
Mm-hmm. Why did your father only send two brothers instead of all three over?
Well, the other one was younger, and he was still going to junior high.
Mm-hmm. I see. You never thought of going over back to China to get an education?
Well, no, I didn't.
Oh, your parents never thought of sending you over?
No, they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Why not? Is it because you're a girl?
No, not that. No, it's just that the boys came back before they completed their education, and then of course things in this country change, and life changes, and with a girl, I don't think they follow that too much. It's not mandatory to. One has to go back to China to learn Chinese. So the best they have to offer is by just going to Chinese school here.
Yeah, which you did.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how much it cost those days to send a person back to China to go to school?
No, I don't know. I was too young to know anything about that.
Did you write to your brother while he was in China?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In Chinese?
Oh, no.
Okay. But, did you ever think about going back at all?
Going back?
To China to visit, say.
Oh, I did go last year.
Oh, I meant when you were small.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. But you put that on a low priority?
No, I didn't go until just last year.
I see. After your brothers came back, did you notice any significant change in the way they behaved? Other than maturity and the natural acquisition of knowledge?
Well, naturally they grew up, and then what you remember, I was too young to really remember exactly how they act or what.
Did you feel that they became, say, more Chinese? Quote unquote.
Well, I could say they were just a little bit older than I am, and we didn't play too much together because
mm-hmm.
I'm a girl and they're the boy, and then they
mm-hmm.
go their way and I stay home or play with
your
kids
sister.
My age.
Mm-hmm.
So then I really couldn't say, you know before and after.
Mm-hmm. Did most Chinese live near other Chinese?
Oh, yes.
They
more or less, most of them, I would say, majority of Chinese live in Chinatown.
I see. Was it because rent was cheaper over there, or because of other reasons?
Not particularly rent cheaper, but because you want to be where all the Chinese is and where all the grocery stores and all. Of course, there are some people that, you know, in due time, you know, you move out further away because of businesses that people have gotten in later on in years, like grocery business and so on. So.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that if the neighborhood changed, they will move along with the other Chinese, you know, a mass exodus out of the neighborhood just to be with other Chinese?
Yes, because Chinatown is too crowded, and so consequently, they have to move to make, they have to move out to get a larger home or something for their family.
Mm-hmm. But it, right now Chinatown is still Chinatown. I'm saying if Chinatown changed and became predominantly, say, Mexican, do you think the Chinese would all leave and create another Chinatown somewhere else?
Well, take for instance now, actually, the Mexicans were in the Chinatown part, and slowly the Chinese bought the American, the Mexican people out.
Oh, I see. What did people do with the money they saved?
The money they saved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did they deposit them in banks? Did they send them
People they say if they have families back home, they send it to China.
Mm-hmm.
Or
and if
else,
they don't?
If they don't, well then, if their families are here, everything goes to the family. They
mm-hmm.
save it for the education of their children and toward a better livelihood for themselves and the family. Everything toward the benefit of their family.
Mm-hmm. I see. Did anybody gamble that you know of?
Oh yeah, Chinese always gamble.
Mm. Could you describe that in a little more detail? For instance, to what extent and how many people got involved and what kind of operation was it? It was illegal, I assume.
Well, it was illegal, yes, definitely, but Chinese gamble, like Fan Tan and all that, but of course this is all undercover.
Oh, Fan Tan, yeah.
Yeah, Fan Tan and Pai Gao, huh?
Mm-hmm, Pai Gao,
yeah.
Would Mahjong be considered a form of gambling?
They have some Mahjong tables that they call Mahjong.
Was it a popular form of recreation, gambling? Among the Chinese men, I assume. The women did not gamble that much.
Well, I imagine that those that are not family men, they will gamble.
Ah, the single men.
Hmm?
The single men would gamble.
Oh, I would say, definitely.
Mm. Why? They have nothing else to do?
Oh, well, they have no family, or else this gambling is one of their weaknesses, so that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. I see. Did they put money in cash room in the cash deposit box, or did they actually put them in, say, savings accounts or checking accounts?
Well, I really don't know too much about that because that's personal. You don't know how each family handles their money.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say some, the more modern Chinese, they would put their have banking account as
mm-hmm.
they do presently, and then of course there are some who do not believe in banking. They would keep cash in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
Or
keep cash in their homes.
Hmm?
The people did that. You mean put them in cookie jars and things of that sort.
Well, I don't know how they keep it at home, but some do keep money at home. But until they you know, would have a robbery, then that's why people don't do it.
Did many Chinese feel that they had obligations in China, you know, sending money back home? They
Well, they have family, that's their obligation. And they have the mother, that's their obligation.
And they sent money back home?
Oh, yes.
As long as it was needed. Did your father ever send money back home?
Oh, yes. We have cousins and many cousins back there.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to take care of them.
Mm. Cousins, huh?
Cousins and, well, aunts and uncles and what have you.
He said,
I mean, close relative.
All of them?
Well, he would send it back to the one main branch, and then from that money that's just dispersed out to them.